Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm your host, author John L. Brown, and I have my co-host, Ms. Jacqueline Allen, better known as Ms. J. Today we have a special guest. And the show gonna be really, really good. And I guarantee you that. So y'all just go ahead on, get y'all a soda, a cup of coffee, or whatever you want, you know, and just sit back and just enjoy this show. But before we get started, I would like to ask Ms. J if she would take the pleasure on bringing Mr. James Wallace on air.
Absolutely. First of all, thank you everybody for joining us this afternoon. And welcome, Mr. James. It's a pleasure to have you. You do a lot of things. But one thing I found very interesting about you is that you studied the, I believe it's pronounced, how do you pronounce it, Americana? Americana?
Americano?
Yes.
My Spanish name or what we're talking about?
Yes. You do a lot of work, and you mentioned something that I wanted everybody to understand, the American history. And I think a lot of people don't know what that is. So before we got started talking about all the great things that you do, I wanted you to kind of maybe, after you tell them a little bit about yourself, explain a little bit about that study, because I don't believe a lot of people really understand what that's about.
Okay. First of all, I would like to give all honor and praise to the Most High and Mighty for today. Without him, none of this would be all possible. I wouldn't be here. Wouldn't nothing exist. Second of all, I'd like to thank you all for inviting me on the show. Fully, my name is James Wallace West III. I am from Columbus, Ohio. I am 39 years old. Experience as far as with a different variety of professions. I went to college in Mountain Union, took psychology. I also did very extensive studies at Columbus State for Business Association, automotives, and also in logistics. Most of my career studies have been with communication electronics, so that's where I got a lot of my field with as far as with dealing with radios and a lot of the communication equipment that, that people use day-to-day now. Now, as far as with the maritime history, what part did we want to actually go and touch into?
Well, because for me, I see it a lot, and me personally, I haven't took the opportunity to really look into it, but just a small little bit about what is it about, and you know, so people get an idea of what it is.
Maritime history?
Yes.
Mainly, my issue is mainly about the trade from off of the southern trade that had its roots from the West Indies and through from the west coast of Africa. You see a lot of recognized artwork that is now going on in the Caribbeans and in the West Indies areas, where we're doing a tribute with a lot of the statuettes and artwork that is done underseas in the recognition to the slaves that were thrown overboard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I see a big following on that, and I was really trying to, share that information, because sometimes people take information and say it, because I was told it was something that's different. So for you to break it down like that, it makes more of more sense to what it means as far as the definition.
Right. And another thing too, I know a little bit about the when they took all the safes and threw them overboard.
Right.
Now, what coast was that? I mean, was that the Atlantic Ocean?
Yes, sir. Between Atlantic Ocean and the Atlantic. Yes, sir. We're talking about the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean, what they call the Death Triangle. What else was there? There was also the Cuban coastlines and Gulf of Mexico. Is where you can find a lot of the atrocities that were happening. A lot of us were considered chattel property, so we weren't really considered as you know, before even the three-fifths concept even came along, we were just literally just property. So a lot of times when you would have shipment inventories, they would count us off as parts and not just a whole person.
Mainly,
were considered maybe a third of a person. So that's what part of the math came in with the fifth thirds of a human.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And also, I want to ask you something. I don't mean to jump in, Ms. J, but I'm interested in the third eye. You know, you have an organist, huh?
Yeah.
You have an
third eye concept.
Right. Explain to the audience about your organization called it Third Eye.
Well, there's actually two reasons. It's kind of a play on words. Since my name is James West III, and a lot of times I focus a lot of my cultural beliefs and whatnot, they come from the use of third eye thinking, third eye blind, as far as with the way our people are existing now in our culture. We have so many issues that are going across not just this nation but across the world. A lot of us are so enslaved in not just physically but also mentally being blind, not being able to see forth as far as with making the proper advancements, the proper investments and education, not allowing yourself to be open-minded to information and all sorts of different varieties of ways of thinking. The use of the third eye is to be able to allow you to open up that concept and allow yourself to be able to think broader, faster, and more efficient ways. That's why I use the term third eye. And like I said before, it was pretty much, it was also a kind of a play on words since I am the third.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. Yeah, it is, because, you know, for most people, a third eye is, you know, is that spiritual self. You know, you're using that, you're going beyond what you see physically as a human. So that,
right.
so when you say that, you know, using that third eye, it does allow you to see more openly because you're not blinded with the physical things that you see. So that's pretty, awesome. That's great.
Right.
And as far as also with my services, a lot of times when there are certain things that, you know, I have a certain branch I use for landscaping and land maintenance as far as for residential maintenance, I don't just do the work. I also show them what I'm doing, how to do it, and how to do it in an efficient manner and the most cost-effective way. And allow them to be able to save their money and to be able to use the money they save to do something more financially responsible. So I'm not just teaching them how, I'm not just showing them what I'm doing, we're just going and providing that service to them. I'm also going to show them what is necessary to do this. What do you want me to do as far as for service, you can actually do yourself, and then I can teach you that as well. So that allows that person to have the opportunity to think in a broader aspect when, you know, they're going to get services from me. You're not just going to get the physical service where something that you need done is being held. I'm also going to teach you about it. So it allows you to get yourself prepared for the future in case you come across something like this again, and or you can help your neighbor teaching them how to do it. Well, I just got services from this guy. This gentleman taught me how to do it. I'm going to teach you as well. And that's what I'm trying to get people to encourage them to do. The more knowledge that you obtain, share that knowledge and make sure that everyone is able to use that same knowledge with the same purpose.
Yes,
right.
Because you're paying forward. Yeah, that's how you pay forward,
right.
too. That's awesome.
Awesome. Right, that is great. That is great. You know, I mean, and I hope that it would be more people, you know, would do that, because a lot of times, you know, you might call a plumber in. He's going to put
right.
it on and fix your stuff, but he's not going to tell you nothing how to do it, you know, just in case that problem occur again, you still going to have to
correct.
Call him back. So what you're doing is great, man. That's,
I'm
yeah,
trying
that's,
to do the best that I can.
That's great.
Because, you know, a lot of times, how many times have you gotten a service from someone and then you didn't see exactly what they did, so you don't know, you're not confident in the money that you just spent was well spent. And a lot of times, how often do we hear that someone just got ripped off? You know, you,
right.
you're thinking that you're paying all this great money for something like roofing services. You know, you're not knowing quite sure whether or not they're doing is right, but if someone has never shown you or someone has never taught you what to look for, how you want to know if you're being ripped off or not? You know, and when you think about a lot of the reports of people who are being ripped off by local contractors, and not only just the government as well, because they do the same thing well with their contracts too, but a lot of the times they happen in low-income neighborhoods, and those who are less likely to have that kind of information available to them, which is usually us. So we're taking
mm-hmm.
that type of opportunity in our communities now is to stop allowing our money to be fleeced from our communities, start doing more smart investments, sharing that information that we've taught each other, and help rebuild our own communities on our own time and our own money and our own efforts. The same way we've done
right.
in the past, but this time that we've learned from that past, we know now what kind of investments to make to keep it from reoccurring, that devastation that reoccurred over and over again throughout our history. We have that information now. It's time now to take and put it into action. And that's what we do as far as with the networks that we're hopefully, especially in Columbus, Ohio, we're trying to build with a lot of the small contractors who are constantly being outbidded by these larger organizations, you know, keeping our people from being able to use their money efficiently. We allow them to know what they're getting into before they have work done, or to allow them to be able to do the work themselves.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah,
yes.
that is
yes,
pretty awesome.
Is.
Yeah, because that way, too, we can hire each other. You know, we can hire our own kind, because a lot of times we're not included in the hiring. And that's one thing people can, you know, talk about Hispanics all you want, really, to be quite honest. But one thing I really respect about them is that they keep each other working.
Very resourceful in the using of their
yeah.
knowledge and skills.
Yeah.
You know, well. Go ahead, Ms. Jim. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, sir.
No, I just said yes. You're good, John.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just like I try to open the people's eyes with
uh-huh.
with my book and my documentary, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, and the Mentally Blind in America,
right.
just like you just said. Okay.
We need to get that on the airwaves, too,
happened,
by the way.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of times, what happened in the African American communities, well, then they let's say there's roads need to be fixed in a community.
Right.
Well, then they walk down the street as though you know, and nothing going on. They got work going on the streets. No African American working on that lives in the community. You
right.
see what I'm saying? And you know, that got to be stopped. Before any work start doing in the community, we should have organizations, these nonprofits or whatever, finding out, you know, what work is going on into the community, so that way we can
right.
get some of our people to work that's in the community that's not working, work on some of them projects. Put that money
too
back
much
into the
we have too much of an issue with the lack of responsibility as far as with keeping vigilant. We lose that as far as with a lot of the little things like with some of these some of those areas like what you were saying with the small contractors in our community that could be helping fix those streets. The city knows that they could be giving them that contract to fix that, but it's up to us
right.
to be able to make sure that we stay on them to keep that from happening, from that work being denied. Too many times we have one of our own neighbors might have the equipment they could be able to fix that right in the backyard, you know, and. Because the city doesn't want to give them that contract, they don't have any way as far as with possibly getting the materials needed to put that down on the road. But they have the skill and the equipment to do it, just so the city doesn't want to pay them, or they don't know as far as how to go about going to the city to get that work. And as far as us in our community and in our neighborhoods, as a village of people, we need to be able to step up and be vigilant on saying, hey, this place of road here needs to be fixed. Who knows how to get this done? Or does someone know a business that's nearby that can be able to help us with getting this fixed and getting the city on this, making sure this is a contract that can be getting this done and taken care of? Need be putting the money ourselves together, pulling that money and getting that road fixed. If you're on that block, I don't see why not. I can't be able to help with taking a couple of my dollars to pull in the money to get that spot fixed to keep from, you know, from any more damage done to our streets. That does a lot, especially with the property value of our homes as well on that same block. If not keeping up your property value, everyone's property value plummets. If we're not working together to keep things up, we all are going to pay for it. The same thing, if you look at us all together as this nation, if we don't start picking up on a lot of the little things that are happening to us, we're going to lose our foundation, and it's going to be, I hate to say it, but it may end up being something that's going to be almost too late for us to recover from. We've been caught with this in history before. It's time for us to wake up.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That is so true. That is so true. One thing you mentioned too, I think a lot of people too, and I love my people, so please don't be offended, but a lot of us don't want to really buckle down and do the steps either. Like, you know, you got to put in a bid. You got to follow up on your bid. You got to see if somebody's outbidding you. It's a lot of steps in there that we have to do, and a lot of people sometimes just don't want to put that effort in. They want to,
that's part of our bad programming, especially when it comes to raising our kids about being persistent. We've kind of lost some of those. A lot of people always wonder, well, what happened between now versus when our forefathers before us were doing the marching? What happened after the marching? Well, there were certain things that in between time, between some of us being ungrateful for what we have versus those being overprivileged versus some of us who kind of fell off as far as being vigilant, keeping up on being very persistent on things. Some of those things that we need to be teaching our kids, that's a sign of an issue that someone may not have been taught. They may have been missed out in their community and in their village. When we tell people it takes a village to raise a kid, it literally takes a village to raise a child. You just can't let that child just throw them into a school. You can't just throw them into a school and then expect for them to get the education just to know, just to get some common sense out of everything and just to know everything from where they're going. There's other things that need to be taught throughout the day. The school does not have that responsibility to be babysitters for our children. If we're going to have children, we need to be responsible for them and making sure that the people in our neighborhoods are responsible for themselves as well, because they set examples too when we are not in front of our children. And we have to start holding them accountable and holding ourselves accountable.
That is so true, because I think that was one of the reasons.
I just want to let the audience know that we have 11 minutes left on the show. So if you guys want to either join in the conversation by asking a question or just elaborating on Mr. James Wallace is talking about, please press 1 and we'll let you in. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Jay, you were saying something. I'm sorry about that, y'all.
No, you're perfectly okay. I just want to elaborate. That was one of the reasons why we did the Afro Man Kiss Face page, because people kept saying, well, they don't teach history. And my mom used to be a teacher. She used to make sure that we learned at home. So we wanted to create a platform that if you didn't get it at home, we're going to give it to you here. You know, and so a lot of times, I think parents, they send their kids off to school and they think, oh, that's it. But it's really important that we teach our kids, because in some instances we have to uneducate them, because some of the things they've been taught in school, they do. Well, I'm not going to back that up. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I do that. We're going to say we educate them at home as well, to educate them and re-educate them. We cannot leave that up to the school system.
Right. We have to be somewhere being very involved in their lives. We were saying we have to take more responsibility as parents with raising them. And when they become an adult, we have to make sure when we pay for it, it's paid for correctly. You know, I want them growing up and coming out here into society and thinking, because the examples that we have set for them was what they're supposed to be. They take those poor examples and implement that.
You know, and then all of a sudden now we have this issue when we're asking questions, well, where did we go wrong? Well, I'll tell you where we went wrong. We misrepresented them as far as the examples we set for them. When Johnny was having issues in school and we kind of blew it off and instead went to this party instead of spending that half hour, 45 minutes or so, we're teaching them about their math skills and why it was important for them to know math and science. You know, instead you want to worry about that drama. And they see that you're more involved than that in the street life, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, what's the point? Where am I going to? What's the point of me learning this? Because it's not going to help me in my life. Because you know what? They're basing their life off the people that they see around them and examples they set.
That's so true.
Right.
It is really true. They, you know, it's really
true.
True. Kids,
you know,
James.
James. Okay.
Yes,
now let's say. This talk show right here is about uplifting communities, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, what would, in your mind, what would be the first thing you would do in your neighborhood, all right, or you would suggest for somebody to do in their neighborhood to uplift their neighborhood?
Number one, it starts with looking at themselves in the mirror and ask if this is my last day. Is this what I want to be remembered by? Secondly, you can start speaking to the children. If you want the children to respect you, you've got to give them some respect too. Ask them simply, the simple thing is, hi, how are you doing today? It means a lot to a lot of kids out here, especially with everything that's going on in our society.
Yes.
Set a better example for them. It starts with ourselves. We want our communities to be better. We got to start being better ourselves. Standing idly by when something's going on is just as much as the problem that's created. So if we do nothing, we're just as much of the problem. We say nothing, we're just as part of the problem. We take no action or we want to be timid about it, then you're just as much of the issue. Don't be the weak link in the chain. Strengthen yourself and you will strengthen your community.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Well, we have someone calling from Louisiana. We're going to let them on air. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening. This is Elvis Shirley Abbott calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Good evening, Mama. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed. How are you all doing?
Fine, thank you.
Fine, blessed, and highly favored.
Amen. Yeah. It's a blessing to be in on the call. Just on my phone today and saw the invite, so I thank God for being on there. And yes, there is a lot to be done in the society just to lift up the community. There's a lot of people that just need an encouraging word that just want to hear, you know, that they can do better and they don't have to live this kind of life anymore. And all we have to do is just be a witness to it by the life that we live and the life that we walk, the life that we talk, and be an example for others. You never know who's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you never watching you.
In other words, planting a seed in their conscience. You put a little bit of positiveness in their life, and that feeds on them. I've seen it before. I've seen it with my friends growing up, you know, being caught on the streets and, you know, selling drugs and dealing with the violence and whatnot. And all they needed was just that one elder to say hi to them and let them know everything was okay. And I've seen it so many times touch their heart. So many of them actually walk away from the life because that one person showed them some decency and kindness, showed them that they were a human being, made them feel like a human being. And it allowed them to make the better choice a night before that kept them alive. It's just those little things, the little things in life that mean so much.
Yes,
it does. Yes, it does.
How does it say? I remember growing up in church, they said the faith of the size of a mustard seed.
Mm-hmm.
See? Just that little bit counts. Those little things that count.
Yeah.
You know, especially when a little child might be going through something. You say hi, how are you doing? Everything's okay. That little touch on the back, you know, a little pat on the head, you know, and smiling at them and let them know you're a good child. That makes them feel like a human being. That takes them from feeling like something that's not worthwhile versus something that is worthwhile. Even if they're wrong,
You see, when somebody, you want to chew them up, where their pants sagging. Because I don't know how we went from baggy to saggy. That kills me with that. But, you know, you encourage them and being respectful to them and let them know, pull their pants up. You know, and you show them some encouragement afterwards instead of downplaying them. You know how much that does to a person. I've seen it before. I've done it a few times.
I've done it too.
Young men come to the store showing your drawers, and I politely pull them aside. Like, look, gentlemen, there's young ladies in here. This is not impressive for. Can you please pull your pants up for this moment so that you can be respectful to these young ladies? We appreciate that, brother. Please be smarter than that. And they pull their pants up. Look at me. Thank you, sir. You know, I appreciate you speaking to me like that. You're right. You're right. And we'll pull their pants up, roll them up if they have to. You know, it's all the young ladies is out, and they want to be walking out carrying their pants, and now they're feeling like some way because they knew better.
Yep,
and it helped them see
right.
better.
Mm-hmm.
But not to downplay
it
in public.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right. It's the way you talk to them, because sometimes, you know, if you get up there and you start talking crazy to them, they're going to go ahead on and talk crazy back to you.
Right. They're going through enough as it is during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you put in is what you're going to get out of them. It's exactly what you put in. It's exactly what you're going to get out. I'm preaching the prison system sometimes. And I actually have some of the women that does come out, because the very first thing I tell them is that find you a church home. Find you a base. And I mean, because actually, if they come to the service in the prison system, if they come to the service, they come looking for something, they come looking for some hope, they come looking for a word, and you just encourage them and let them know that this is not your destiny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that you are here, if you're crying because you want to know why you're here or you did or didn't do something, but I just want you to know that the reason that you're here is because the Lord saved, tried, put you in a place to save you from yourself, or save you from being killed, or save you from ODing on drugs, or save someone else from killing you. That's right. So, you know, the Lord put you in a place to save you. And see,
right.
And so they had to think about. They had to think about you, and then tell them, you know. And thank God he didn't put you on your dying bed.
Right.
That's
for
right.
You to realize
well,
what's going
that's
on.
Right.
Well, everybody,
that's right.
We have 1 minute and 45 seconds left.
Wow, you was right. This went fast.
So I'm gonna let Miss J, could you please close us out?
Miss J.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for joining us, James, and thank you for calling
bless
in.
You all.
Well, no, we really appreciate it. We shared some great information today. I think one of the biggest things that we learned today is that we have to invest in each other, and
yeah.
we cannot do it without one another. So I hope that everyone got that out of the conversation today, but we really thank you for joining us. It was a blessing to have you, and thank you. And if you got, James, I'll give you a couple seconds. I know you showed us what you would do, but give us one positive comment on the way out the door, please.
Big up and one love to everyone out there that's listening. Make sure you stay close and stay tuned into this radio station. This is going to be a blessing for everyone here. Get some new, some good positive information, good vibes from here. These people love you and will help make sure that you are showing the light and the way for the future, for your investment, for our communities, and for yourselves as well. God bless everyone, and God bless you guys. And hope you guys have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. And Mr. Brown, you got anything to say? Because that was like an excellent closer.
I know it. I don't think I can top that.
Yeah, top that.
But anyway, Mr. James, I really enjoyed you on the show, okay? And thanks a lot for coming in. Miss Shirley, thank you for calling in. And I really appreciate you guys, you know. You guys are so, you know, y'all make the talk show. You know, like I told you, Mr. James, earlier, you know, we've been on air now for over a year. And it's people like you that comes on the show that makes us stay on air, you know, because it's, you know, we need you. We need more people like you in the communities. And thank you for working in the communities so hard. With that said, good night, everybody, and y'all have a very blessed rest of the afternoon.
That's right. Peace and blessings.
God bless you and everyone.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.